Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What is going on, Bills Mafia? It is your host, AJ Cebulski, here with another edition of AJ's Analysis. We have a lot to talk about today. Obviously, a big matchup for the Bills and Cowboys coming up this weekend. And the Bills and Chiefs game last week. The Bills go into Arrowhead and win for a third straight regular season. The first team to ever do that to Patrick Mahomes. Pretty interesting that the Bills have had such success in the regular season against the Chiefs the last three seasons. And now, you know, are having a little bit of trouble in the playoffs against them. But today I am joined by no one other than Alex Brasky. He is from Batavia Daily News. He's the editor over there. He's also the editor for Bills Digest, editor for Livingston County News, and play-by-play for Varsity Media. So he does it all. Thanks for joining me today, Alex. How are you today?
I'm doing well, AJ. Thanks for having me. Excited to get going here. Excited to be back in the realm of relevance here with the Bills as they head back into the playoff chase after it seemed like their hopes were fading away.
Yeah, so this Bills versus Chiefs recap. Bills win 20-17. I want to start with obviously the big talking points of the game. First off, the Kadarius Toney conversation lines up in the on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and the refs call it. Andy Reid came out and said, they were all complaining about it, saying that Kadarius Toney wasn't being warned all game, and then they call it right there in that moment, blah, 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 all this stuff. I want to ask you, do you agree with the call? Should it even have been questioned? And your thoughts on that ending and how the Bills were able to escape.
First off, I do understand the Chiefs questioning the call. It is a call that you don't see very often, albeit it has been called much more often this year. I believe 11 times this year versus, I think, under 5 last year and maybe 2 the year before. So it's certainly been more of a point of emphasis this year. So I can understand the Chiefs being a bit frustrated. Andy Reid, a longtime coach, Patrick Mahomes being a veteran in this league, not having seen that call very often and having it go against them in such a critical time. Certainly, I understand the frustration, but to be as belligerent with their frustration as they were after the game really just screamed of unsportsmanlike conduct, for lack of a better phrase, I guess, because you hear Sean McDermott get asked about the officials every game. He takes the high road, refuses to comment on it, as most coaches do, and as I'm sure Andy Reid has done often throughout his career. But he decided to go the other way. You saw Patrick Mahomes interacting with Josh Allen at midfield. But that being said, correct call. You heard Roger Goodell speak, I believe, on Wednesday night, and he said he found it ironic that he was addressing a correct call made by the officials, and I have to agree with him.
Yeah, I'm going to totally agree with you, Alex. I think very well said. And that leads right into the next conversation, the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen interaction. I want to get to that real quick. Obviously, after the game, Josh Allen went to go shake hands with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, prior to this, like at the end of the fourth quarter, was already enraged with frustration about what had just happened, saying you can't make that call at that time. He kind of said the same thing to Josh at the end of the game. I kind of took an issue with it, in my opinion, just because of the fact that I think Josh, and I guess people are different, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison here, but Josh throughout his career has had these, hard losses, and I know Josh Allen is one of the biggest competitors. You watch him every Sunday. You watch him do kind of whatever it takes to win and make plays that are, jaw-dropping. But I thought Mahomes should have tried to show a little bit more respect to Josh at the end of the game. I know Josh did respond to Mahomes. They did talk after the game, and Josh said, it's a competitive game. It's football. He wants to win. I didn't take any offense to it. And Patrick Mahomes also did apologize for how he acted, saying that it was kind of unnecessary. What are your thoughts on it? And did the sequence of that, knowing this rivalry, knowing that Josh had to confront Mahomes after a 13 seconds blunder in the playoffs and did so respectfully, did it bother you at all, or was it kind of just heat of the moment, emotional, time to move on?
Yeah, I think it was more a problem for those on the outside than it was for the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes relationship. Those guys know each other off the field. There's been enough of a bond created there through some of their high-profile activities. You saw them go against each other in the match. So I think there's a respect there off the field that one instance isn't going to change that. But I think it was more of an optics thing for Mahomes. That looked terrible going to midfield after a tough loss like that. As you said before, Josh Allen has suffered plenty of tough losses throughout his career, namely to Patrick Mahomes in that 13 seconds game. And as you said, he interacted with him respectfully after the game. So I thought Mahomes owed him the same courtesy, and I'm sure a lot of Bills fans did too. So I think it's going to be more of a point of contention between Bills fans and Chiefs fans, more so than it will be between Allen and Mahomes or the Bills and Chiefs. I think when you're a player in the game and in the moment, I think you understand where a player is coming from in that circumstance. But from the outside looking in, it certainly wasn't a good look.
Yeah, and I'm sure in hindsight, like you said, Alex, I think in terms of the organizations, the players themselves, it's not that big of a deal. Like, there's been many examples of frustrations from players in big moments and emotional times. So it's not like this is a thing, but I you're right from the optics side of it. It did look bad from that point of view. So I want to get into the football side of things now. Let's start with James Cook. 10 carries, 58 yards, five receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown. So over 130 yards combined in total yards, actually 140 and a touchdown. What do you make of his performance? First question, and do you want to see him on the field more? He only had 44% of the snaps in this one.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my assessment of his performance. Just fantastic, but we need to see him more, particularly down the stretch in games. I know that they're probably worried about his ability in pass protection, but the only way he's going to learn is if he's out there in those situations. And his production when he's given the ball is just off the charts. He's, I believe, the Bills franchise leader right now in terms of yards per carry for a season. He's up there near the top of the league in that regard on the year. He's been incredible, both running the ball out of the backfield and now increasing his production, catching the ball out of the backfield, five receptions in this game. And moving forward into this Cowboys game with defensive tackle Jonathan Hankins out in this game, I think Cook could really explode for another big game. It's just going to be dependent upon Joe Brady to really trust him down the stretch. And maybe it's not Joe Brady, maybe it's the overall coaching staff. But I think you need to put James Cook out there more often, especially in crunch time when you're trying to solidify a win. In the last 17 minutes of game time against the Chiefs, he only touched the ball twice. So that's not enough in crunch time. I think James Cook is obviously one of the keys to this offense. He and Josh Allen really leading the way over the last several weeks. So he needs to be given the ball a bit more often and be on the field a bit more often than he has been in crunch time in recent weeks.
Yes.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
789 yards this season, 211 yards away from becoming the first running back since LeSean McCoy to reach that 1,000-yard mark rushing. He's already surpassed the 1,000 total yard mark. So, again, it's a good jump from a player that they didn't quite understand how to utilize under Dorsey. It felt at times Dorsey would kind of implement it, but then that would be like a one-game sample size. They'd get away from it. Joe Brady's shown consistency. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do, and he's an element to this offense that they can bring and continue to add. Now, because of this, and I think Joe Brady, again, when he was brought in, was a tight end, running back, heavy guy. That's kind of what he was talked about. He did really well in Carolina, even with the subpar team. DJ Moore went over 1,000 yards. Robbie Chosen now at the time was really good there as well. So they had multiple guys contributing to that Panthers team. One guy for the Bills, and I'll ask if you're worried about him, and then I'll give my opinion, is Stephon Diggs. There's been some talk about him. Eric Turner from Cover One did note that some people are complaining about his drops. He does have a lower drop rate this year than last year. Now, he has had a couple more drops in the last few games, but in terms of drop rate over the season, he does have a lower drop rate this year. In his last four games, Alex, 17 catches for 159 yards and one touchdown. Now, I'm not saying he could do that in 1 week, but 159 yards and one touchdown is something that you've seen Stephon Diggs do here and there with the Bills in one game. So What are your thoughts on Stephon Diggs, and are you worried about him at all with this new offensive coordinator and Joe Brady? Or is he a wide receiver one? Do you think that maybe some teams have done a good job of taking him away and the Bills have done a good job of getting other guys involved?
Yeah, I think it is what you said at the very end there. I think it's really a factor of both of those things. I think it's teams have really focused on him after his hot start to the season. But since Joe Brady has come in, I think that they've increased their focus on getting other members of this offense involved in hopes of really unleashing this group's full capability. And you see it with Cook. You've seen it with Dalton Kincaid, who's taken a step forward. Deonte Hardy finally made a catch that was meaningful. So now working Dawson Knox back into the mix. Gabe Davis is still on a milk carton somewhere, but they are doing a better job getting people involved. And I think that that has really led to Stephon Diggs maybe taking a step back in terms of his production. And you mentioned the drops. He's had some opportunities to come up with big catches. And just like everybody else in this offense, it seems he's taken his turn making a few mistakes over these past few weeks. Not worried about him per se. But I think that there have been factors that have played into his decrease in production over the past few weeks. And I think as the regular season moves along over these past few weeks, and if they're able to get into the postseason, I think we'll see Stephon Diggs take a step back in the forefront within this offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I'm kind of weird with Stephon Diggs. Like, I agree. I think he should get his target share. I'm a big believer in that, but you're seeing what this offense can still be without him. And I'm not saying he hasn't contributed at all. He has had moments like the Eagles game. He had a big touchdown catch, but I just think that this Bills offense, the more they put on tape and the more they put on film, the ability to get others involved, the better it is for Stephon Diggs down the stretch here. So I'm not too worried about it. Again, he is 30 years old, so I don't know how many years of his prime he has left, but he's still playing some of his best football of his career, so I'm not too worried either. All right.
Well, there has been some mention of that he may be wearing down at this point of the season, maybe need some fresh legs here down the stretch, but I really haven't seen any sign of that. We'll continue to monitor that as we move forward, though, I guess.
Yeah, they just came off a bye week, Alex. You think he'd be, you know, it's not like he went on his fashion tour. He's one of the best fashion dudes in the league. Like, the guy, you can say whatever your opinion on it, but the fact of the matter is the dude has fashion. So he was doing that in his bye week, and I don't really think he was doing much of football, which, again, I don't think there's much to his legs are getting there. I think even last year you saw him have a kind of a stretch where he kind of went quiet. So, again, I don't think it's that much to worry about. I want to move to the guy throwing him the football, Josh Allen. His performance, I'll start with this one. I want to say that I don't know if he had a great game. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say Josh Allen dominated, Josh Allen, you know, won that football game, all this stuff. But what Josh Allen did was made enough plays to win. The Deonte Hardy throw that you mentioned earlier, great throw. Sidearm, guy right in his face, 2 feet standing, flick the ball, get your shoulders turned, make a great throw. Dalton Kincaid throw on 4th-and-1, scrambles to the right, evades kind of pressure, stops, kind of looking around, what do I do? What do I do? And then makes a nice sidearm throw to Dalton Kincaid to move the chains. They end up scoring on that drive with the Josh Allen. I don't know, Connor McGovern, you might have a better idea, but Connor McGovern said something along the lines of there was a lot of grunting in that pile when Josh Allen scored that rushing touchdown where they pushed him about 5 yards. And then the Latavius Murray throw, one of the best plays, if not the best play I've seen from a quarterback, fading away out of bounds, over the shoulder. You can debate whether Latavius Murray caught that ball, but the way that the refs called that game earlier with the Travis Kelce drop catch, whatever that was, I think it was the right play, and I think he had – or the right call. And I think Latavius Murray just had 3 steps in to get – you know, complete the process of the catch. Josh Allen, 23 of 42, 233 yards, 2 total touchdowns and 1 interception. What are your thoughts on his performance against the Chiefs? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he was great outside of that interception. That was a critical interception. It did turn the tide. It helped lead to the Chiefs' first points, but he was great. One touchdown against that interception, 58 yards rushing, and like you said, that run on the tush push there that everybody seemed to get involved on, just wouldn't be denied on that play. And his implementation into the running game has increased over the past few weeks, and I think that's really factored into the Bills' production increasing overall offensively. Giving that multi-dimensional look to a defense is really a game changer, especially when it comes to Allen. It helps him really get more into the game, I think, and helps him make those highlight reel plays, and you see him get up to 10 carries this past week, really laying it all on the line. And you heard Sean McDermott say it yesterday, you got to do what you got to do at this time of year, and the Bills are doing it. Allen is doing it. And now it's going to come down to either a 3-1 or 4-0 stretch here to push them into the playoffs.
Allen now leads the NFL in total touchdowns with 35 and total yards, 3,821. Alex is MVP. Again, I think going against the probably top candidate for MVP. Quick second. I know we're talking about it later, but Dak Prescott, he has a lot of naysayers, but again, I think he's putting together one of his best seasons, only 6 interceptions. So I think he's doing a really good job. Is Josh Allen and the MVP a realistic conversation if he can rattle off 4 straight down the year?
That I agree with. I was going to say that if he can rattle off 4 straight wins and win the division and stun the Dolphins, I think that's the only chance he has. And I think it's going to take some help with Dak taking a step back. He's been incredible over the last 8 games, 69% completion percentage, averaging 305 yards per game, 23 touchdowns against 2 interceptions. I mean, that is just MVP level stuff. So at this point, I'd be surprised if Prescott didn't win the MVP, but that's dependent upon him continuing that pace or somewhere close to it over these next 4 games. It starts this week in Buffalo, where Dallas is not that good on the road. All 3 losses have come on the road, and they're 2-2 outdoors this season, and their statistics have taken kind of a step back when they go outdoors. And playing in Buffalo, although it's not expected to be typical late December Buffalo weather, it is a bit colder than inside the cushy confines of AT&T Stadium. So I think Dak will be tested this week. Bills defense has been playing well, but I think it's going to take a lot for Allen to force his way back into the MVP convo. But if he does go 4-0 and continues his pace, I believe he will have a chance.
Especially rattling off wins over the Chiefs. I mean, it would be if he, in this case, Chiefs, Cowboys, Dolphins in a 5-week period with when your team was 6-6, to pull that off would be pretty impressive.
Right, and the performance against the Eagles. They lost that game, but that certainly wasn't due to him. He played phenomenal in that game.
Yep, and now let's flip the switch here to the defense. I thought Mahomes struggled in this game. Defensive line, I thought, got good pressure on him. They did a good job of keeping Mahomes in check in terms of scrambling. In the past, he's had his moments, like that 13 seconds game, that first drive. Patrick Mahomes basically used his legs that whole drive, converted like a 3rd and 15-plus in that drive with his legs, almost scored a touchdown with his legs on that first drive. So and this year, he's on pace to break his rushing yard totals and his rushing attempt totals. He only had 1 carry for 8 yards in this game. So, again, I thought the Bills did a really good job. You saw Jalen Hurts kind of have some success. I thought Terrell Dotson had some trouble with spying, but I thought the Bills did a really good job of spying this week. Made the adjustment on the bye week and did a really good job of keeping Mahomes in check with his legs. Big plays on defense come from Christian Benford, who forced a fumble, and A.J. Epinesa with the interception. The Bills didn't score points off these drives, but again, anytime you can take Mahomes off the field, it's a good thing. So just your thoughts on the defensive performance. Ed Oliver also had a tip ball in crunch time and had half a sack. So just your thoughts on this defensive performance, and then we can get into these playoffs and expectations coming up.
Yeah, I thought the pass rush did a great job corralling Mahomes inside the pocket. I wrote that in my pregame 5 takes on the dailynewsonline.com. I thought that was critical, as it has been over the past number of years. Bills have not been able to do a good job keeping Mahomes in the pocket, as you mentioned, but I thought this past week they did a phenomenal job of doing so. Ed Oliver has a career high in sacks this year, affecting balls at the line of scrimmage, putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks week after week. And Von Miller, you saw take a small step forward against the Chiefs with that knee brace off for the first time since injuring his knee last Thanksgiving. They said that it was going to take a year to get that brace off. It did, and now with it off, hopefully for the Bills, he can start to get going. That is, if his off-the-field circumstances remain kind of stagnant as they are currently. But we'll see how that plays out and how the Bills' defense really performs moving forward, continuing to be without Matt Milano, but perhaps getting Daquan Jones back in the coming weeks. You heard Sean McDermott mention that. I think it was last week that Jones will have a chance to come back. He's kind of in the, I think he said, red or yellow trending toward green or something. He used some sort of traffic light analogy.
I think he said in between red and yellow and then trending towards green. So I think they're kind of ramping him up, but he's not fully there yet.
Right. And if you get him back, that'll only help matters up front. But yeah, the Bills defense has been performing well. And really the big thing in this game was they were able to close it out. They let up that drive to begin the second half, let the Chiefs kind of march right down the field. But right after that, they settled in and only allowed the field goal the rest of the way. So the Bills defense really stepping up and putting the offense in position.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The win last week.
That was Bills Chiefs. Bills win 22-17 in Arrowhead again for the third straight regular season in a row. Quick segment on the Bills playoff chances. All of this is according to the New York Times model, and I'll have a question for Alex here at the end of it. Bills got a lot of help last week. Texans win, or Texans lose. Colts lose. Steelers lose. Dolphins lose. And then obviously the biggest thing was the Bills beating the Chiefs, which now looks like it was a must-win game. If the Bills dropped that game, it would not have been pretty. They went into the week with a 15% chance to make the playoffs. Now they're at a 49% chance to make the playoffs and a 23% chance to win the division. The Dolphins finish with Jets, Cowboys, Ravens, Bills. Again, that's a tough stretch. Again, Jets, Cowboys, Ravens, Bills. The Dolphins have – I'm not going to say they're reeling, but or that they're getting figured out. But their defense concerns me, and what Tua can do at an off-script kind of thing. I'm worried about the Dolphins, that aspect. The Bills are right back in it for the AFC East. Can they do it, Alex? Or are you more confident with them kind of sneaking into that seventh wild card spot?
Yeah, hey, don't count out the Jets this week. You saw Zach Wilson really take a step forward this past week in the Jets win over the Texans, 30-6. Wilson over 300 yards in that game. So with the Jets defense, and if Wilson can put forth another admirable performance like that, perhaps the Jets sneak one out against the Dolphins this week, and that would make things mighty interesting. And Miami could be without Tyreek Hill in that game, considered day-to-day after hurting that ankle in that crazy loss to the Titans this past week. But, yeah, Miami has its flaws, and those flaws are winning games against quality teams. They couldn't even win one against the Titans last week, and that's not to say the Bills haven't had their own trouble beating inferior opponents, but that's certainly been a problem for the Dolphins over the past number of years. And Coach Mike McDaniel, his offense seems to rip into, as I said before, inferior opponents a lot of the time. But when it comes to playing teams that are either on par or a bit better than the Dolphins, they really don't step up to the challenge very well offensively. And they have yet to prove themselves in a big game this season. We'll see how they do down the stretch. They do have a tough schedule with those matchups against the Cowboys and the Ravens. But I think that this week against the Jets could be a little straining for Miami.
It's funny because I went into this, like, I've kind of thought ever since they got to like 6-5 and they kind of just have been such an inconsistent football team this year, I really thought the division was out of the question. Now I'm sitting here like thinking that week 18, you look at the Dolphins, are at four losses. You drop one of the next three, you're at five losses. And then you're going into that game against the Bills, who have the tiebreaker over you. If they beat you twice, obviously. And then the Bills could go into that game 10-6. Bills win, they're both 11-6. Bills get in. Or the Dolphins say, well, we haven't proven to beat anybody. So they drop, you know, two of their three games to, you know, they play the Ravens and Cowboys again, which are really good teams. And then the Bills can even drop this Cowboys game this week, which we're going to turn to here in a bit. And the Bills could go into that game 9-7 with still a chance to win the division. So the division for me right now, it's at a 23% chance. But with the way the Dolphins have played, the questions I have with this offense, when Tyreek Hill, like you mentioned, with that ankle injury, when he's not out there, it's just a whole different beast for the Dolphins. They do struggle. It was proven against a Titans team that, again, allowed Gardner Minshew to demoralized them the week prior. So I think that there's something there with the division. I still think the wild card's the most realistic, but again, that division, man, I think it's wide open, and the Bills can win the AFCs for the fourth straight season, which again, a couple weeks ago, that was almost impossible. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that would be something if that Week 18 game in Miami decided the division. That'd be quite the matchup for the NFL and all football fans everywhere, a rematch of that game earlier in the season. And the Bills, the way that they've turned things around in the blink of an eye amidst the controversy has just been unbelievable with the article coming out regarding Sean McDermott and as I mentioned before, the off-field allegations surrounding Von Miller and to come out with the win over the Chiefs. I certainly think that now, having won the game, it can be a galvanizing moment for this team, and we'll see how that plays out over the next few weeks.
All right, we're moving to injuries. Only on the Bills side, I haven't really checked up on the Cowboys injury report, but I just want to focus on the Bills in this one because there are not quite a bit, but there are some that popped up this week. Sean McDermott said Micah Hyde and Epinesa are both week-to-week yesterday. And his presser, Dalton Kincaid, is day-to-day with a shoulder. Also was on the injury report with a thumb injury, so that's interesting. Alex, any injuries to add that I missed on that injury report going into this one?
Yeah, I lost you for a second. Did you mention Taron Johnson dealing with the ankle injury? Yeah, but he spoke to the media yesterday, so I'm expecting that he'll play this week. Usually, if there's any chance that a player might be out, they don't put him in front of the media. He did talk to the media yesterday, so expecting that Johnson will likely play. Shorter, Justin Shorter, the rookie wide receiver, having his 21-day window opened. I'm not sure if there's a chance that we'll see him get back onto the roster this year. I don't think the Bills really were confident in his ability coming out of training camp. And I think this 21-day window, as it's been mentioned by many others, might just be a chance to get him some practice time with the team here, get him a chance to work out some of that hard work, as Sean McDermott said, that he's been putting in over the past few months, and just give him a chance to show his stuff over this 21-day window, and then perhaps we'll see him go back on the shelf. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. As you've seen throughout the season, the Bills haven't had a surplus of talent at the wide receiver position. That's for sure. They've struggled to get the ball to wide receivers not named Stephon Diggs consistently. But I don't think we'll see the rookie at this point in the season. Von Miller was provided a veteran rest day again to begin the week. I think that worked well for him last week, or at least the team thought so. So giving him that opportunity once again. And Coach McDermott did not rule out Micah Hyde or A.J. Epinesa going to IR. He said that we'll see in terms of that. I think that Hyde would have I don't want to say better chance. It's not a good way to phrase it. But I think there's more of a chance, I should say, that Hyde would go to IR with that recurring stinger injury than Epinesa. But we'll see. Von Miller's increased production this past week certainly bodes well if Epinesa is to miss extended time. They're going to need his efforts and others to step up. Maybe we'll see more of Shaq Lawson. But it would be a big loss if Hyde is to go on IR. He hasn't played his best football this year, but just his leadership on the field, I think, is a big deal for the Bills, especially missing Milano in the middle of that D.
Yeah. Reported by Nick Sabato from the Niagara Gazette, Kair Elam tore a ligament in his foot in preseason and tried to play through it. Again, Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas have been really solid for this team. I don't think, in my opinion, that he ever – my question to you was, do you see a realistic chance for Elam to see the field again this year? I don't, just because of the depth they have there. But what are your thoughts on Elam, that torn ligament, obviously probably affecting him greatly, obviously forcing him to go on IR for a bit. So just your thoughts on Elam and if he can get a chance to go on the field again.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, I was one of Kair Elam's biggest critics in the early season, a first-round pick coming out and not being able to get a jersey didn't look good for him. But this goes to show you that we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. Tearing a ligament in that ankle, certainly a bigger deal than a lot of us probably imagined. I think when he went on IR, a lot of us thought that, or maybe I don't want to speak for anybody else. I know that I thought that it may have just been a case of getting a player a chance to take a step back and kind of reset. But, yeah, clearly had that injury early in the season, and I'm sure that affected his production. A cornerback having to change direction and plant on that ankle so often and whatnot, I'm sure that made a difference for him. I don't think that we'll see him down the stretch here. I think the Bills, barring an injury, I should say, I think the Bills like what they have at that position. Rasul Douglas has been an incredible addition for the Bills secondary with Tre'Davious White going down. He stepped in and taken over that CB1 role and done so with flying colors. So I think they're set at that position right now, and I don't think that they're going to look for Elam to step in anytime soon.
And then last thing before we move to Bills Cowboys, Nick Veronica from WIVB tweeted out yesterday, or X'd out, I don't know what the heck to call it.
I always say tweeted too.
Matt Araiza, in his first comments since being dropped from the rape lawsuit, said players and people from the Bills organization checked on him frequently over the last year. Araiza has continued training and says he's ready for an NFL opportunity. Now, Alex, you know, put the Bills have been reaching out to him frequently over the last year, like Veronica said in the tweet. Do the Bills pursue that again? I know that, and despite that, I think there is kind of a punter problem going on. Sam Martin had a moment this year where he pinned like three or four balls inside the 10-yard line in that one game where he was phenomenal. I really think besides that game, it's kind of been brutal, whether it's hang time and not allowing the coverage to get down there quick enough or just not getting a good leg on it. So there might be next year a little bit of punter controversy going into that season. Do you think that Matt Araiza is a potential candidate to come back for the Bills after all that's happened?
I certainly didn't think so before this recent news, but him not settling with the complainant in this case and really moving on from that circumstance, I think opens the door for him not only to return to the NFL, but perhaps the Bills. And with that report that he has had conversations with the Bills throughout this entire time, certainly points things in that direction that could be an opportunity for him. But I don't know if you're asking me right now or in the off season.
Oh, not right now. I think that's like I said, I think that's the next, like Sam Martin's here, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Sam Martin's here to stay.
Right. It's, at this point of the season, yeah, I don't think there's any chance, but yeah, perhaps in the off season with Sam Martin's performance this season, leaving plenty to be desired. I think the Bills are going to look for a new punter. It's just a matter of who. And with this situation with Araiza kind of getting cleared up, perhaps we will see him step back into that role with the Bills.
Alex Brasky from Batavia Daily News. We are now moving to the Bills versus Cowboys preview. It'll be about 10 minutes here. I just want to say thank you for anyone who's listening on audio right now. You're probably listening to it Thursday evening, Thursday night, or sometime this weekend. So, again, I greatly appreciate all the listens. Please share, like, whatever you want to do to help spread Age's analysis. I greatly appreciate it. So let's start this Bills versus Cowboys preview. I want to start with this and preface this conversation with this. A lot of people, or not a lot, again, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I've seen it a lot on Twitter that it's a must-win game, and this is a really big game for the Bills, and they need this one. Quite frankly, it's if they're going to drop a game, this is the game they're going to lose, this is the game that they can lose. Sorry. Their odds to make the playoffs are still at 83% with a loss to the Cowboys, according to the New York Times model. So, again, an NFC opponent with the Dolphins schedule, especially with all these other AFC teams reeling, the CJ Stroud injury. There's a lot of teams in that 7-6 range that are facing a lot of, you know, backup quarterback situations, losing key players. The Browns just put their stud safety Delpit on IR. They've faced a lot of injuries this year. So there's a lot of injuries going on around the AFC. Feels like kind of the AFC is kind of catching up to the Bills in terms of that aspect. So again, I don't think this is a must-win game. I will say it's a big one if you want the division, because you know you're kind of banking on the Dolphins losing two of their last three to have a shot at it. But I don't think this is a must-win in terms of if you lose this one, the playoffs are out of the question. I still think there's a real realistic possibility that the Bills are able to sneak in. Listening to Cowboys coverage this week, they're saying that this is the best roster that they've had in over 20 years. The team feels different. The Eagles, cool stat, the Eagles had scored an offensive touchdown in over 100 games. I think it was like 104, 105, something like that. That streak came to an end against Dallas on Sunday Night Football. The Cowboys won 33-13. I don't know if you caught any of that game, but if you did, just give me your overall thoughts on the Cowboys trending into this one.
Yeah, they've been incredible this year, except for on the road, as I mentioned before. Five straight wins coming into this game, scoring over 40 points in three of those wins, scoring over 30 points in all five of those victories. And some of those wins have been quality wins over Seattle and Philadelphia the last 2 weeks. three wins before that against Washington, Carolina, and New York. Not as impressive, but Dak Prescott, as we talked about before, is probably been the best quarterback in the league, at least over the last 5 to 8 weeks. His stats have been incredible. I already rattled them off. And he's really been the reason why this Cowboys team has taken a step forward. And I consider the Cowboys to be the best team, not only in the NFC, but I think in the NFL right now. They're certainly the hottest team. They're playing well on both sides of the ball. They did allow 35 points to the Seahawks, but other than that, they hadn't allowed over 25 points all year. So against the Eagles and 49ers. So in their wins, really, really allowing limited points are the Cowboys. But their secondary in Deron Bland has been incredible with all the pick sixes. And Stephon Gilmore, the former Buffalo Bill, putting his age aside and performing well, shutting down A.J. Brown against the Eagles and really being impressive. We'll see how he matches up with Stephon Diggs and how that duo at the cornerback position works out for the Cowboys. And Micah Parsons, he's probably the best athlete in the NFL, or one of them at least, and he is just a force on that defensive line. They kind of move him around a little bit, try to match him up with advantageous matchups there. So we'll see how the Bills can solve this Cowboys defense and perhaps slow down Dak Prescott. It's going to be a titanic matchup here with the Bills surging and the Cowboys continuing to play well as they have all season.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb's having a special season. 96 catches, 1,253 yards and 8 touchdowns. A couple other role players for the Cowboys I want to mention that when I was listening this week to Cowboy stuff, they were talking about. Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup have filled a really good role that I think Cowboys fans, they've kind of found.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A spot for Gallup to kind of have a role on this team, and they kind of understand that now, which they've had trouble with in the past. Jalen Tolbert, again, he had 0 catches last week, but like a Khalil Shakir, who got on the field because of his blocking in the run game this year, he was one of the best blockers per PFF, and now that's kind of translated to the receiving game. Jalen Tolbert's a guy that's willing to block and does a really good job of that for the Cowboys, and he's someone that helped greatly in that Cowboys-Eagles game. Jake Ferguson, the tight end, had a big play in that game as well. He's really coming on. I thought they've done a really good job of replacing Dalton Schultz, who's over in Houston with C.J. Stroud having a good season. Defensively, I think that the, like you said, going through the secondary, Stephon Gilmore, they were saying that he had his best game as a Cowboy last week. Again, they got him for apples, a 5th or 6th round pick. I don't quite remember exactly. But again, a day 3 pick for a guy that's really coming into his own this year with them. Locked down A.J. Brown, who made some comments that he was old. So I think there was some inspired football being played from Gilmore in that one. Deron Bland, like you mentioned, 5 pick sixes this year. And then Jerron Kearse, Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson, their safety trio that they kind of utilize. Really good tacklers, really good at tackling. They did a really good job against the Eagles, who pride themselves on yards after catch. So the Cowboys were really able to tackle and get vertical to stop the Eagles from scoring 1 offensive touchdown all game. Some quick offensive stats. Total offense, Dallas, 381.5 yards a game. That's 4th in the NFL. Buffalo, 378.9 yards a game. That's 5th. Passing-wise, Dallas is 2nd in the NFL with 262.8 yards. Buffalo, 256.9. Rushing, Buffalo, 122 yards a game at 10th. And the Dallas right behind them with 118.6 yards a game at 11th. Scoring-wise, the Cowboys, like you said, Alex, best scoring offense in football. They average 32.4 points a game. Buffalo at 26.8. Then defensively, again, the Cowboys have done a really good job. 4th in points per game at 17.9 allowed, and Buffalo at 18.8. So this is a good matchup. 2 really good teams. Alex, I want to ask you the question. What do the Bills need to do to win this game?
They got to slow down the Dak Prescott-CeeDee Lamb connection. It's been incredible. CeeDee Lamb You mentioned it in Dak Prescott's stats and the scoring stats that this Cowboys offense has put up, and it's really been a product of Prescott connecting with Lamb, and that really has set the stage for all their other weapons to come into focus. Tony Pollard's had a good year. You mentioned Ferguson and Cooks having quality years as well, and the list goes on for this offense, and Mike McCarthy's done a good job. I think Mike McCarthy, he's one of those coaches in this league that every time that something goes wrong with a Mike McCarthy coach team, he gets ripped. But every time a Mike McCarthy coach team does well, he gets none of the credit. I think you need to give Mike McCarthy his flowers in this case. He has his team clicking on all cylinders, and they've just been incredibly impressive offensively. And on the other side of the ball, you got to slow down Parsons in the Cowboys pass rush. Not only Parsons, you have DeMarcus Lawrence, who's had a good year. So there's more to that pass rush than Parsons, and you really have to do a good job up front in protection and maybe leaving in an extra blocker to Chip Parsons or whoever lines up on the outside against Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown.
Yeah, quick Cowboys home versus road splits, courtesy of Peter DiBiase on Twitter. At home, the Cowboys, they're 7-0, average 39.9 points per game and allow 15.4. But on the road, different story. Six games, they're 3-3, scoring only 23.7 points per game. So about a 16-point drop-off home versus the road. And they allow almost 21 points per game. So again, six more points per game they're allowing. So like you said earlier, Alex, they have been a team this year that has done really well at home. But on the road, it's a whole different story. All right. Before we go, I want to end with this hot take, because I always do it. I want a hot take from you right on the spot and then a prediction.
Ooh, hot take. Sean McDermott's a top five coach in the NFL. I think the criticism lobbed at him over the past couple of years, not unfounded. He's certainly had his slip-ups in big game scenarios and in clutch moments. His game management is left a bit to be desired at moments. But when you look at the grand scheme of what he's done for this franchise and how he led his team through that season last year and how he has his team still afloat this year after all the tough losses and whatnot that's gone on, and you heard the players have his back after that game, I think he has the pulse of this locker room, and I think he's done such a good job with this franchise. If you're to ask me for a hot take, Sean McDermott, top five coach in the league.
And then do you have a prediction for this one?
I haven't worked out the numbers yet, but I guess I'll do it right now on the fly. As I was reviewing their schedule live with you right now, I noticed that all three of their losses, they've allowed over that 25-point barrier, really over 28 points or more. So give me the Bills to win this one. I'll take 31-27 Buffalo. In a high-scoring game, they're going to have to outdo Prescott. Maybe a turnover late turns the tide, and give me the Bills to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys in this one. I think they're surging. I think the Bills, again, the AJ Epinesa injury is going to hurt. Micah Hyde not being out there will be a factor. And again, I think I picked the Chiefs last week on the Bills one. I'm picking the Cowboys again this week. Maybe the Bills can do it again and prove me wrong here. But I think the Cowboys are the better football team. I think they're coming into this one, again, like you said, Alex, on fire. They're hot. They're coming off a big Eagles win. Now, I will say they have a tough stretch of games coming up. So, again, they could – if there's a game they could drop, it's this one. But I'm going to have it 27-26, a very close game. So, I do think the Cowboys do enough. But, again, with Josh Allen, there's always a chance. And I think this Bills team, if they can win this one, I mean, man, dude, like looking at – sitting there at 8-6 – talking about it, you know, moving forward, it's going to be a crazy finish here. But Alex, I want to thank you for coming on today. Let the people know where they can find you and what you're about.
Yeah, just follow me at Alex Brasky. You can also follow the Daily News, the Batavia Daily News, that is, on various social media channels, the Livingston County News and Bills Digest as well. Bills Digest will come out with a season review postseason. And if they are to make the playoffs, the Bills, that is, will come out with some preview issues online that you can access as well. I'll have a link posted to my social media to subscribe to Bills Digest. You can also find that on the Bills Digest Twitter page, or X page, I should say. So a lot going on with the Bills and a lot going on at the Batavia Daily and Livingston County News. So exciting time of year to be a guy covering sports.
Yeah, go and check him out on X. He does a great job over there. You can find me at AJ Sabalski over on X as well. I do whatever I talk about. Yeah, I do what I do. So again, I really appreciate all of the listens. Thank you for tuning into this episode of AJ's Analysis. I will see you next week. For the sake of Bills Mafia, I hope it is a Bills win. And the Bills, we're talking about an 8-6 football team that, again, is going up against a Chargers team that will be without Justin Herbert for the rest of the way, or a 7-7 football team, again, which I said earlier in the show, still good playoff chances if they can control what they can control. Again, thank you all for listening, and I will see everybody next week.